Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Wednesday, July 26th. It's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 96, the first paragraph at the top of the page. Do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. Through one paragraph ending, who has since recovered of their chance. We study that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Lorraine N., the 12 Traditions, Kathy M., and the readers of the text are Penny L. C. and Shelley E. And the share ID for Tuesday, July 25th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,471. That's 20471, and for this morning's meeting, Wednesday, July 26th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 20,478. That's 20478. And our newcomer greeter is Abby D., and the announcements person is Betsy H. ROA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Lorraine N. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning, Mo, and thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lorraine Ann. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Oregon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to serve.
Thank you very much, Lorraine N. And I will now ask Kathy M. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Kathy M., recovered compulsive overeater in Michigan. The 12 traditions. One. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and everybody have a wonderful day. I will pass.
And thank you very much, Kathy M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 96, the top of the page, the first paragraph only. Do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once, and it ends with, who have since recovered of their chance. And I will now ask Penny LC to get us started. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Mo, and good morning to everyone on the line. Mo, thank you for your service. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. Search out another alcoholic and try again. You are sure to find someone desperate enough to accept with eagerness what you offer. We find it a waste of time to keep chasing a man who cannot or will not work with you. If you leave such a person alone, he may soon become convinced that he cannot recover by himself. To spend too much time on any one situation is to deny some other alcoholic an opportunity to live and be happy. One of our fellowship failed entirely with his first half dozen prospects. He often says that if he had continued to work with on them, he might have deprived many others who have since recovered of their chance. And that's the end of the passage. And what this reminds me of is that if I that there is nothing that I can do to make the difference. In terms of I present the solution, and if they are ready, I can't do it wrong. But if they are not, I can't do it right. It's not up to me. It's truly between them and their higher power and their willingness to surrender. And if I know if I want it more than they do, then I'm simply playing God. You know, the disease has brought many to the solution. However, the disease has taken many back to the problem. You know, I've started working with others countless numbers of times, and and watch them, a good large percentage of them, leave without the solution at hand. And I know, you know, that's the disease. It wants to keep them in its grips. And all I know is that everyone is on their journey, and they're ready when they're ready. They're desperate enough when they're desperate enough. But I continue to present the solution in the same manner that I have. And when someone does, you know, pick up that solution and go forward with it and is committed to working their program, I've also been blessed to see an amazing process unfold, to hear them change in their voice. If even, you know, I often am only working with someone over the phone, and yet I can hear that pain and misery start to fade away, and I can hear that joy, that peace, that serenity start to come into the picture. And it's a beautiful process to witness. And yet I've also watched many who still continue to resist and defy the solution, and not by their own, really their own making, but more so by the fact that they're still in such a grip of their disease. And so I do, I turn each one of them over to their higher power, whether they remain or whether they go, and trust that their higher power has a plan for them. And I just need to be available and share what I know. And I appreciate the opportunity to share with you what I've reflected on. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Penny LC, for getting us started with opening sharing. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if anybody would like to share on this first paragraph, page 96, do not be discouraged. It ends with, who have since recovered of their chance.
Nicole R.
Please
from California.
Let me know who you are. Who was that?
Veronica B.
Nicole R.
Veronica B.
Ronnie B.
Veronica B. There was somebody in between there before Ronnie.
Nicole.
Elaine.
Nicole. I got you, Nicole.
Elise.
Elise. The first of
Elaine.
Elaine S. Okay, let's stop there.
Patricia P.
Yeah, I got you, Patricia P. Elaine S.
Okay.
I don't have everybody's last initial. You'll have to help me. But I have Veronica B. I have a Nicole. I have Ronnie. I have Elise, Patricia P., and Elaine S. All right. Veronica B., you get us started, and it will be followed by Nicole R. Thank you. Everybody else, mute your phone, please. Press star 1 to mute.
Hi, I'm Veronica, the recovered compulsive overeater in California. And thank you so much for your service. It's so good to be on the line this morning with my fellows. I came into Overeaters Anonymous in 2009, and my sponsor instilled in me the importance of giving back in my recovery, and that it was my duty. I was indebted to Overeaters Anonymous and my duty to give back by helping other compulsive eaters when I was finished with the steps. And my sponsor at the time, when I started sponsoring, she would have me read this chapter. She would have me read Working with Others. And it really helped me. It helped me understand so much how I could not push other people to want to get recovery. I had to just have this attitude of I was willing to help anybody who asked for help. That was the way to show up. At first, at first I would like push myself on others. I would, you know, I was calling other people to see if they needed a sponsor. That didn't work so well. It really, my experiences, it was always turned out better when they called me, because that showed me that they were desperate, they were hopeless, and they were willing to do the work, you know, because that was the only way that I was able to do the work. I had to come in a state of hopelessness, where I was out of answers. I was so tired. Like, I just stopped fighting everyone and everything, and I was just willing to do anything that my sponsor suggested, because all I wanted was freedom. I wanted freedom from bondage of self. I wanted freedom from the compulsive eating, and I just wanted, like, emotional sobriety. I wanted all the chatter to stop in my head. And so I was willing to do anything that my sponsor suggested. And so today, the way I show up is this attitude of, like, I am willing to help you if you want the help. If you want the help, I am here. I am here for you. I will take you through the steps. But I have to offer myself to others. Like, I always have to put myself out there and be available. And that's the attitude that I show up in. When I go to a meeting in person, I talk to the women that are sitting by themselves. I introduce myself. You know, like, I have to show kindness and this attitude of, like, let me help you. I know where you've been. I'm so grateful for this program. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Veronica B. Up next is Nicole R., followed by Ronnie. Good morning, Nicole.
Hi, I'm Nicole, Nicole R. from California. And thanks, everyone, for your service. I really like the person at the share that started this off. So, this paragraph, it reminds me of the saying, you know, carry the message, not the eater. We can carry the message, but we can't carry the eater. So, you know, and also the third tradition states that the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop compulsive overeating. And so that desire comes from within. That's an individual experience. I can't make someone have a desire. And I know I had the desire, I had the desperation, and that's, you know, that had to come from within me. That wasn't something that someone could tell me or give me. So, you know, step 12 is about service. And if I'm chasing the unwilling, it's like it says, denying another eater an opportunity to live and be happy. And so, in effect, if I'm chasing the unwilling, I'm hurting others. And so that kind of defeats the purpose of the 12th step, right? So, you know, and I don't want to force my will on someone, even though, you know, my recovery depends on them, depends on sponsoring just as much as theirs. I have to be open to the fact that there's another opportunity. And, you know, one of our prospects, it says, failed entirely with his first half a dozen. And he didn't get discouraged. I mean, I think about Ben Franklin. How many times did he fail before he invented the light bulb? So, thank you, everyone, and I will pass.
And thank you, Nicole R. And Ronnie B., you're up next, followed by Elise. Good morning, Ronnie.
Good morning, everyone. Ronnie B. in Missouri. Grateful to be here. Thank you for your service, and what a wonderful reading and shares. So, you know, I was sitting here pondering, and it dawned on me something my sponsor had been saying in this program, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but October, a day at a time, will be 4 years, a day at a time. And that is, where do you think you're playing God? And for, you know, so many of the times we talk, I'm like, I don't know, I don't see it. You know, I don't see it. And I was so confident that I wasn't, that I said, "Do you see it?" And that was a mistake, you know, because she immediately said, "Actually, I do," you know, and then kind of chimed in. I'm like, "Oh, I didn't realize that was called, where do I think I'm playing God?" But of course, it was a lot of control, and it was such a deep desire for someone in my life to choose to get better today. And I've heard it in other programs, because I'm in other programs like 42 years. You know, you everybody has to want it for themselves. Everybody has to want it for themselves. You know, we can't go out and take hostages, you know, all of that stuff. But I wasn't applying it in all of my affairs. You know, me wanting things for other people. Definitely recovery, because that is the main point of what we're talking about here. Definitely that. But other things, too. You know, look at who you're choosing to spend your life with. Maybe I know better for everyone than they know for themselves, right? Choosing naturally what you're eating. Holy cow, look at what's on your plate, right? And I'll tell you what, I would never like anyone doing any of those kinds of things to me. And plus, it doesn't help. And it instills a sense of shame. And who am I to do that? So, and I mean that. Now, it doesn't mean I'll never have a thought of doing that, because what I do is called being human, but then I have to work the steps on it. It doesn't justify or rationalize. And deep down inside, I know I would like other people to have a good life, but why don't I focus on my own life? And maybe by that example, just maybe, they'll see something. But whether or not they do, the more focus I put on my own life and getting better, the better off I will be. And for the past year plus, you know, my sponsors talk to me a lot about, do you have compassion? Maybe focus on compassion. Focus on compassion. And maybe say things to people just a little bit differently. And I had a situation like that come up last week with my son. And I'll just say, you know, and about drinking. And I'm so glad I didn't talk to him for several days. Not because I was shutting him down. I just didn't hear from him. Because I need time, you know, pause, pray, proceed, pause, pray, proceed. And I didn't talk to him about it, but he asked me about something. And even with that, pause, pray, proceed. And I had very little to say. But I did say I meant. And I meant it with love and compassion. And it wasn't to tell him what to do. It was just answering his question. So I have to remember that I'm a human being, I'm going to make mistakes, I'm going to make bad choices. No one else can change me, no matter how much they think it's for my betterment. And only my higher power, only God as I understand God. Anyway, it's been a great meeting. Thank you, everyone. I'll pass.
Thank you, Ronnie B. Up next is Elise. I think it's Ann, followed by Patricia P. Good morning, Elise.
Hi, this is Elise N. Can you hear me?
I can, very clear. Thank you, Elise.
Hi, I just wanted to say how thankful I am that my sponsor doesn't give up on me, and the other people in this program have been reaching out to me with outreach calls, because I've been having a hard time with emotions. The food is down, and I get kind of stuck in the steps, and I have to reach that level of desperation. But my sponsor talks to me about her example, about her experience in the program, what she's done to become abstinent, what she's done to stay abstinent, what she's done to you know, how the steps are working in her life, how the program's working in her life, and I'm grateful for that. I'm also very grateful to have gotten on this meeting earlier this morning. I think a lot of folks were having trouble with the password. It kept saying it was the wrong password, and I know it's not. So somebody suggested there was a 10 o'clock meeting, and I decided to get myself on here. And that shows some willingness. So I'm grateful that you all are here. And thank you for listening to me. I appreciate it. And I pass.
And thank you very much, Elise and Patricia P., followed by Elaine S. And after Elaine, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Patricia.
Patricia P. from Barron Springs, Michigan. Recovered compulsive overeater, put it one stay at a time. I like this paragraph where it says, do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. I've been working with for over a year now, and she keeps slipping. I used to be a chronic backslider, went into remission, and I know what it's like. I have a sponsor now that carries me through the steps so that I can find recovery, and it teaches me to have patience with my prospect, but I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Patricia P. And up next is Elaine S. And after Elaine, we'll take another lineup. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning, Mo. This is Elaine S. from Santa Barbara, California. And this is such an interesting topic, and I'm going to approach it from a very different point of view, which is I'm recovered now and have been for some time, but I was a relapser for quite a while, and there are various times when my sponsors fired me, and that was just what I needed because it made me recognize how serious it was for me to have gotten into the ingredients or behaviors that were going to kill me. And, I don't think it's an automatic thing. Well, first I want to say that with each relapse, I learned something I needed to learn. So I don't advocate relapsing, but I have a thick skull and I needed to be really hit on the head hard. And my relapses were very short, a day or two, but I knew this was the only way I would ever recover. And it wasn't about losing the weight, though I did lose over 50 pounds, but it was about the chatter in my head. I did not want to live with chatter in my head. And it took for me to recognize that I was practicing idolatry, and at various levels, I kept letting more go, letting more go until I finally got to where I am now, which is just really being able to maintain a peace of mind. The last thing I want to say is that I think when deciding when to let a sponsee go has to come directly from God. God tells us, because I tend to stay with sponsees as long as they're being honest with me and sending, doing the work. But there's a point at which I've had my most recent sponsee, I had to say to her, because she kept relapsing, call me, let's continue working after 2 days of abstinence. And she wasn't able to do it, and she let me know that she wasn't ready. So I think avoiding firing sponsees by giving them work and making sure they're doing it, but also listening to God's direction. And I think God makes it very clear to us. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much for your service, Mo, and everybody on this line, and for the previous shares. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, Elaine S. And let me know where we're at. Everyone else that just has been getting on the line, we're on page 96. First paragraph, do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. And it ends with, who have since recovered of their chance. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So we've got some time here. Who would like to share on this paragraph? I have Elaine A, and I heard a Carol W.
Danielle W.
And who was that?
Carolyn W.
Carolyn W.
No, Carolyn S.
And Danielle W.
Danielle W. Okay.
And Sharon E.
Sharon E. One more. Okay, I have Elaine A. I think I heard a Carol, but maybe the Carol was Carolyn S., so I don't know. Danielle W. and Sharon E. Let's go with that lineup. First up is Elaine A. Everyone else, please mute your phone. Star one. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning, Mo. Welcome back. You were missed. You know, this morning, you really were. This morning there was no Verizon, but we didn't know that. So I guess some people might have taken it personally. So I tried to text as many people as I could to tell them the service was down. But I realized how much I missed it, not being able to hear it, and how important this meeting is to me and so many. And I looked for God in a steeple, but I found him among its people in OA. You know, sometimes I unintentionally alienate people by being too pushy because I'm enthused about the program. But as the first sentence says, do not be discouraged if your prospect does not respond at once. I was banging on the same old door, three doors. Sometimes I'm so excited to share it that I'm banging on three doors. And I'm banging on the door and three other doors are opening. There are three other people that are seeking me out that want the light and want the program and want recovery. So, I'm banging on the same old door and three other doors are opening. And I just need to give them space. That sometimes the most loving thing I could do is give someone space. And when the nothingness of error is seen, the somethingness of good is found waiting, and just leave that person in God's hands. And, you know, that's a freedom, not just for me, but for them. And it takes the pressure off. And with that, I pass. And give yourself a good day. Wishing you well, one day at a time. I pass.
Thank you very much, Elaine A. And was it Carol or Carolyn S.?
It's Carolyn S. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
My mistake. All right. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Thank you. I've been in program many years, and I've done a lot of sponsoring. And right now I'm recovered one day at a time. Thank you, God. I've sponsored lots of people, and there are ones that, you know, I saw struggle, and I really, really wanted to help them. And I found myself eventually putting more effort into their recovery than they were themselves. And that's when I have to say, okay, you know, I can't do this for them. I can't, you know, wish it into existence. And if they're not ready, I may very well be depriving someone else of a chance to get better. And I have been that person who wasn't ready. And there's an expression I've heard in program, which is honesty without compassion is cruel, but compassion without honesty can kill. You know, meaning if we kind of just, you know, say, oh, yeah, it's fine. You know, it's progress, not perfection. Okay, so you picked up, you know, again. I want to be helpful, but if I'm not also honest, I can be enabling someone to stay in the suffering. So I don't like the term firing somebody. I think it's better to, like, give them an assignment and, you know, either they do it and they contact me or they don't. And if they kind of drop off the face of the earth, I'll give them a call after a week or 10 days and just say, how are you doing? Or I'll text them. And, you know, if they're ready, they'll contact me again. But if they're not, then it's better for me to move on. Especially locally where I live, you know, there aren't always a lot of free sponsors. So yeah, there could be somebody waiting for someone to come available. So that's what I got from this reading. Thank you all. Bye.
Thank you very much, Carolyn S. Okay, up next is Danielle W., followed by Sharon E., and after Sharon, we can take more names. Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning. This is Danielle W. from Southern California, recovered but not cured. This paragraph was so helpful to me when I first started to sponsor, because I kind of found the process confusing. I would have new sponsees that, you know, were in a place of desperation and would come to the step work with great enthusiasm. And then right around step four, usually, they would just sort of fall away. You know, they wouldn't show up, or they kept changing the meeting time, or they wouldn't do the work that we had agreed to. And at first, because of my disease, you know, I kept thinking, you know, is it me? Am I doing something wrong? You know, if I was a better sponsor, maybe they would stay on track. And, you know, all I can do is walk beside somebody, you know, but we have to give people the dignity of their own experience and to understand that they may not be ready. They may want it, but they may not be ready to really do the work. And so it was helpful to me to go back to this paragraph and read, to spend too much time on any one situation is to deny some other alcoholic an opportunity to live and be happy. And what I would find sort of magically is when I could say to somebody, you know, when you're ready, I'm here, but I can't, like the other person that shared said, I can't do more work than you're willing to do. And to lovingly let somebody go always opened up space for a new sponsee, you know, that I think our higher power or my higher power knows how crucial sponsorship is in my own recovery. And there are so many people who are really craving and wanting to walk this path. And so sometimes when we close one door, it opens another. And I've had sponsees who I have had to let go have, you know, that has actually helped them in their own journey. Because nobody likes to be, you know, let go, but it kind of shows them also that there are healthy boundaries and that we have to work the program if we're going to stay sober. So again, this, you know, this book is just such a beautiful guide to help us. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Danielle W. And for those just getting on the line, we're on page 96. The first paragraph, do not be discouraged. It ends with who have since recovered of their chance. And after Sharon, I will take some more names. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. This is Sharon E. from Ohio. Gratefully recovered. Compulsive overeater. Thankful for this meeting. And I guess there's two points that I wanted to bring out. Do not be discouraged if they're not responding at once, and he may soon become convinced that he cannot recover by himself. And I wanted to say how I became ready, or rather when I was not ready for many, many years, decades really, so that I know and understand when others may be convinced. So when my daddy was alive and I was at their home for a family night, he'd often say something to me about my eating, and I would be offended. But I would often come back with some quip or comment, offhanded, comedic, you know, dismissing his concern. Or I'd say, yes, I do need to lose weight, but I would go ahead and eat whatever it was. It didn't really matter. And I just remember long ago, there was a friend who would say something, and she was being very kind and loving about it too, even more so than my dad. He was more familiar, because she saw people give in and just eat, and she called it letting themselves go. And she would say, I just hate it when people let themselves go. I feel bad for them. And I would definitely come back to her with a comedic quip, like, you know, no, I do watch what I eat. I watch it as it goes into my mouth. And I think she saw my disease way back then, even though I don't know that she's really in this program. I did know that I had a problem, I did not know I had a problem. But I was just keeping those two experiences in mind with people that I might come in contact with. I had no control over my eating, but I also didn't care. And I have to approach people with love. Love is the only way. I mean, really, I have to be able to tell people my story if they ask or if it's appropriate for it even to come up. I never force it. They have to come to that realization all by themselves, just as I did. But for those two people in my life, I'm forever grateful. Daddy's gone, but I probably do need to go thank Marge for her help like 40 years ago. That's something that I'm never going to forget. And, you know, even her husband would be in on it, caring, you know, and I wasn't even that heavy back then. It was really more about they saw the actual disease like my dad did, you know, But he was more concerned with the actual weight, I think. But Marge and her husband Gary, they saw my pain, they saw my disease, and if they had been in this program, I think that they would have showed me what steps to take. But I'm very thankful that I'm still living, because I know this program or this disease kills, and that I was able to find it. And thank you all for listening, and I'll go ahead and pass. Y'all have a good day.
And thank you very much, Sharon E. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I think I have time for three more shares. Who would like to share?
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Karen KZ.
Agnes A. in Southern California.
Agnes A.
Becky T. in Idaho.
Becky T. All right, let's stop there. And we'll see what we have left in time. All right, Karen, you're up first. Everybody else, press star one to mute. Karen KZ.
Hi, this is Karen KZ, gratefully recovered in Missouri. And I love this paragraph because I struggled with a sponsee, like who's not doing the work and they keep relapsing. And that word letting go or firing, and somebody helped me understand that if I held on to that person, they needed to just hear another voice. You know, maybe someone else could work with them. I mean, some people are just not willing, but there are people who just need to hear another voice. That's such a kind thing. And that's what I shared with a sponsee. She just kept relapsing, you know, eating and eat. And I said, you know, I've talked to a lot of people and they're saying that you probably just need to hear another voice. And then somebody said to me, if you hold on to her, you are denying her the opportunity that maybe another voice could support her in her recovery. That was so significant for me. By the way, she still didn't want, you know, she still wanted to work with me. And I added on, it was really God saying it, after you have worked with a new sponsee for 30 days and you're abstinent, you know, please add me to your outreach list because I really care about you. And unfortunately, she isn't reaching out to me or calling me. But it still bothers me that, you know, I let her go. But when somebody helped me see that I was actually denying her the opportunity for recovery that she might be able to get with a different voice. So I just wanted to share that because that's made a huge difference for me. It's not like I'm firing somebody. It's not even like I'm letting them go. I am releasing them and encouraging them to reach out for another voice. So with that, I pass. Thank you. I'm not hearing anybody on the meeting.
I don't hear anybody either. I don't know what's going on.
Moh, can you please press star one to unmute? Thank you.
Okay. Here I am. Okay. Sorry about that. Agnes A., you're up next.
Hi. Agnes A., recovering in Southern California. I really appreciate what I'm hearing. My experience is there are two different things. One is it's a program of attraction, right? So it's one thing when it's not a sponsor-sponsee relationship. I certainly would go after people, you know, that I see have a weight problem or are eating compulsively or whatever. My experience is they already know, right? They know there is something that's not right, kind of a thing, and I wait to be asked, you know, what is it that you're doing that's working for you, and then I share. But that's not a sponsorship relationship, right? And so that's different. I don't keep chasing after the person, like the paragraph said. While at the same time, if there is an opening to share my recovery, my experience, strength, and hope, then that's God asking that person to connect with me. And so as long as they're sharing with me, I will share with them what I'm going through without being judgmental or pushing. When it comes to the sponsor-sponsee relationship, you know, I think my experience is, because I've been on both sides of the equation, I've been a sponsor and I've been a sponsee. As long as that sponsee is staying connected and doing the work, then I'm there for them. But if I'm giving assignments and they are not following through, it's not that they're slow or they're not showing extra motivation. You know, they're just going slower. It's taking them longer to get the step two or whatever it is, or do the step four, but they are working. I'm very hesitant to drop that person, to fire that person. It's very painful for a sponsee to be told outright, while they're trying, you're not trying enough. Because I know that this time around I came back, it was because I reached out to people and they were all like, why don't you try this? Why don't you go to a meeting for 30 days? Why don't you get a sponsor? You know, so there is a subtle difference between those two situations. I won't chase after somebody, but I won't fire somebody who is trying, even if they're just taking baby steps, because I empathize and I've been there. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Agnes A. And Becky T., we have about 1.5 minutes. Can you do it?
Yep, I can do it.
Okay.
I'm Becky T., and I'm from Idaho. I love the last chair. It pretty much covered a lot of what I wanted to say. Sometimes things, my own experience here, the steps through the death of my husband and then eventually the death of my son, and the relapses kept coming, but they were small, and I kept refocusing and kept doing the work, and I got let go several times in the middle, and I'm sure there's stuff I'm not seeing anything against any of the people who sponsored me. They were very, very kind and generous. And so finally I've gotten an appointment with a grief counselor who happens to be an addictions counselor also. And there's just, when someone is working, and I was working, I just couldn't get it all together at once. I could do really good in this area at this time and that area at that time. And I really thought I was crazy. I thought that, as a matter of fact, I still somewhat think that, but I kept watching me refocus, and I kept watching me do what I needed to do every day. And then when the sponsor wasn't there, I watched my food trail off, and I watched me find people to try to get, you know, so I could commit to what was going on. And so, I, you know, we're all on a journey, and I appreciated what the last person said. Sometimes we just can't get there as fast as someone wants us to, or we want to.
Hi.
I thank you very much.
Thank you, Becky T., for sharing, and thanks to everyone who shared and was present at this meeting. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. I will ask Shelley E. to read a vision for you. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive eater, presently in Petoskey, Michigan. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. I apologize. My neighbor decided to. Mo, I guess. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.